Our speakers today will teach you how to create and deliver your best pitch. Now I'd like to introduce our moderator, Tori Johnson. Tori is all about spark and hustle at work. Tori successfully made the transition from employee to entrepreneur, and in 1999 she founded the Women for Hire. Now in its 11th year, the company hosts high-caliber diversity career expos and conferences for entrepreneurs across the country. As workplace contributor for ABC's Good Morning America, she offers her no-nonsense career advice. Her fifth book, Fired to Hire, follows Will Work From Home, Earn Cash Without the Commute, which was both a New York Times and Wall Street bestseller. Please join me in warmly welcoming your moderator for today, Tori Johnson. Tori.
Thanks, Jerry. I'm so excited to be here. How many of you were here yesterday with us? Oh, good. All right. So those of you with your hands up know that you are in a really big treat with these two, right? Yes. And those of you who did not join us yesterday, I promise that you are in for a really good treat with us here this morning. So let's, before we dive into all the stuff that we're doing, Lena and Melinda, why don't you, you tell everyone what you want them to know about you. I would tell you they're rock stars. They are small business rock stars, but I want them to go a little bit deeper and tell you a couple of the things that they do on a regular basis so you have a good sense of where their expertise is coming from for their session this morning.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. My name is Melinda Emerson, but my nickname is Small Biz Lady. How many of you use Twitter? Okay, we'll do it. If you follow me on Twitter, I have over 100,000 followers and the fastest growing small business brand on the internet. I publish a blog called SucceedIsYourOwnBoss.com. I'm also the author of the best-selling book, Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months. What I want you all to know about me more than anything else is that my mission is to end small business failure. All right?
I love Melinda.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lena West. I am the founder and CEO of InfluenceExpansion.com, formerly Zyno Media. Some of you may know me from that brand. We just switched brands in September. And what we do is we work with women business owners to help them have social media success. There's a lot of ways to get lost in the sauce with social media, and so I provide everyone with my 9-step proprietary system, and that's what I teach to my students and my private clients. And my mission is to make social media marketing easy to use, manageable, and worthwhile.
Great. You guys. All right. So we're going to spend the time in our session here this morning talking about how to really nail your pitch. And it's so important, no matter who you're talking to, if you are talking to investors, to potential customers, to current customers or clients, to the media, to collaborators, to one another at an event like this, no matter where you are, if you can't pitch or effectively share and sell the service that you offer or the product that you provide, a confused person's going to walk away just about every single time. Someone who's confused is going to sort of nod politely and walk away. They're not going to do the digging to be able to understand what it is that you do. It's easier to nod politely and walk away. And so we want to help ensure that nobody ever nods politely and walks away from you. So let me just start by asking, who would say that you've got your pitch down? You could pitch your business or you could pitch yourself with total ease. Oh, that's like a half a hand. That's a full hand. Okay, stand up. Let's hear you do it. Yep. Is that why no one else raised their hand? So you guys all know what she does, right? You get it. There's no ambiguity there. You totally understand what she does. All right, A+. All right. So for everybody else, for everybody else who didn't raise their hand, you're in the right place, because we're going to walk you through some of the steps that it takes to deliver that message with clarity so that people understand exactly what you do. Obviously, you're going to tweak that message depending on the specific audience that you're talking to. So that exact pitch to investors is going to be different than it would be to the media, or it would be to sort of a general audience like this. So I want to start out first, though, Melinda, with having you share with us some of the things that you see are the biggest mistakes. Like, let's address some of the mistakes right off the bat that when you hear a pitch, your, you know, head is spinning like, oh, no, no, we're in trouble here.
The three biggest things that I think people make mistakes with their pitches is, number one, their pitches are too long. You know, I think that you need to be like, as James Brown would say, you need to hit it and quit it. You understand?
So what does that mean?
I really think you need to keep your pitch around 20, 30 seconds max. You really, if it takes you so long to explain it, the person's going to, like, glaze over. They won't understand what you're saying. The second biggest mistake I think people make is using jargon that's specific to their industry that a general person that they're talking to wouldn't know. And the third thing, I think, is that people don't emphasize benefits of working with them. What I loved about the pitch that the young lady just did right here is she said, as her closer, we come into your home and help you recover from cosmetic surgery. That is a key benefit statement, and you have to close your pitches with that. Your features are fine, but what a general pitch should include is benefits. Why do people work with you?
Okay. And I know, Lena, you've got some ideas, too, to share about what a pitch is and what a pitch is not.
Okay. So, and just to add to what Melinda was saying also, what I see a lot with women business owners is they don't own their business. They say, I work with, or I work for. If it's your business, say, I am the CEO, I am the president, I am the founder. Nothing wrong with that. So what a pitch is and what a pitch isn't. What it isn't, this is not the opportunity for you to tell folks your life story, right? So I don't care all this other stuff, unless they ask you, right? So a lot of this is venue specific and what you're having to do and what they're asking you to do. But this is not the time to go into your entire, how you got started and how your parents were poor. I want to hear about this business that you're in right now and not the two other businesses that you started that failed. What a pitch is it's an opportunity, and this is, as my coach would say, a writer downer, guys. This is an opportunity for you to give me, or whoever you're pitching to, the information they need to decide whether or not they want to do business with you. Whatever doing business with you is, whether that's giving you a cash infusion, or working with your company as a client, or working with you, P.S., as an employee, because you need to be pitching them too.
And Melinda, you've got some specifics on really getting, kind of drilling this down in terms of a formula for developing an elevator pitch. So if we have to think of, like, from the first words out of our mouth to the last, right, what should we be thinking of?
Well, what I want to do now is give you mine, and then I will break down how to do it. It's about your X, Y, and Z, okay? So my name is Melinda Emerson. I'm a national small business expert and author of Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months. I work with professional women who want to transition from having a job to starting a business. That's it. If you ask me my pitch in the elevator, that's what I would tell you. Now, did you guys see what I did? My X was I identified myself and my expertise. Right, so I told you I was a national small business expert, and I also told you I was an author of Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months, which is a national best-selling book, right? The next thing I did was I identified my why. My why is, who do I work with? Who is my niche customer? It is professional women, all right? Now, my Z is, what do I help them do? I help them transition from having a job to starting a business. That's all you need, guys. Because look, you got three seconds anyway from when you open your mouth before the person decides whether or not they want to still talk to you. So that's why it can't be long. But it needs to be impactful. Because do any of you not know what I do after I said that? And did you notice how it was different from how I introduced myself when Tori asked me? I purposely kept this back because I kind of knew that question was coming. But the point is that when you meet someone, it's about your X, your immediate credibility statement, right? this is me, and I'm, you know, she said, I'm a registered nurse. So I immediately was like, okay, she's credentialed. Let me hear what else she's saying. All right, so your X and your Y and your Z. That's what you need.
Okay, so who's willing to give it a shot? This is a friendly group, okay? Excellent. Sure.
Well, because my I'm a writer, professional writer for business. The only credibility that I see that I have is I'm a lawyer, but I don't know that the lawyer credibility relates necessarily.
Why is your being a writer not credibility?
Yeah.
How long have you been a writer? How long have you been a writer?
25 years.
Okay.
Okay.
So you can do you see how we talk ourselves out of our expertise that we own, right? So that's your credibility.
Right.
I'm a 25-year, you know, veteran writer, or however you want to phrase that, whatever works
and
for you.
And I would also throw the attorney part in there, because that's just additional credibility.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's hear it.
What's your name?
Scratch that. We'll start over.
Rewind. Good morning, everybody. I'm Susan Tabor Kleiman. I'm a lawyer and a professional writer. And what I do is I work with small business owners and entrepreneurs to create a bio for your website or LinkedIn profile. Whatever it is that you need to present yourself in the way that really speaks to your market and in the way that speaks to you as well. So that at the end of our collaboration together, you're left with a bio or a profile that you're proud of and that speaks to your market.
Nailed it.
And the more comfortable you get doing it, so obviously, like, you're on the spot here, but you know what? Frankly, we're always on the spot, right? But the more comfortable you get, you start to lose words like, and what I do is, and instead you just say what you do, right? I work with professionals to develop bios for their website versus what I do is I work with. So we can lose words like what I do is. Do you know what I mean? And the more you actually do it, and I really like to think that there's no better place than today at this event to practice it. Like, you're with, you know, thousands of women here today to be able to just, like, you know, spit it out, and you'll start noticing, like, who's looking over your shoulder, who's digging for more information, who wants to know more, and you just get more comfortable the more you say it to actual people versus practicing in the mirror. So good for you. Thank you. Okay, who else wants to try it? In the back.
Works for me. Sure. I mean, you know, financial advisor, financial planner, I mean, I think that you got to say what you do. And I don't think financial advisor is a jargon term, personally.
So did you guys hear that? So her comment was that she wants to know how. How does a financial advisor help women to accomplish their financial goals? And so that piece she felt is missing from that. So how would you address that?
I would get that a little tighter.
Yeah.
You know, try it again.
Usually when I try to ask questions before,
You won't always have that chance. Like, look, this room is potential clients, right?
Potential customers for you. This is the best possible opportunity you have to get all of our attention. Okay.
So go ahead.
Okay, so let me give you a little bit of verbiage around that, and you can wordsmith so that it feels like it's coming from you, right? So you can say, you know, via a combination of smart investment strategies, painless saving tactics, and XYZ, right? So you want to give them boom, 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 right? So if that's what you do, that's what you do. So painless savings, smart investment strategies, and a flexible budget.
And even
that's what works for you.
And even adding, like, starting where you are right now.
Right.
Because so a lot of women think, like, oh, gosh, I can't even, like, stretch my paycheck right now to make ends meet. I'm in no position to be saving money, right? So many people think, like, your services are way out of reach for me. And those are the people who actually really need your services. So it's you tailor it to meet a woman where she is right now.
So here's an example of that. A friend of mine, Maggie Mayer, she is a CPA. She's a CPA in Connecticut. And, you know, she meets people and she says, hi, I'm Maggie Mayer, I'm a CPA. And I'm like, Maggie, yawn. So, you know, she I love her, right? But it's like, yawn. So she started working on it, and what she came up with is now when she introduces herself, she says, hi, I'm Maggie Mayer, and I'm the non-judgmental CPA. Like, don't you love that?
Yes, yes.
Because it's always that damn CPA that's telling you, why aren't your books in better order? Right. And you're like, I don't need it. I'm paying you to give me peace of mind. And when she said that, I connected with that immediately, and I worked with her. So you've got to come up with whatever you know your audience needs and tell them that you're that.
Melinda, how do you read an audience? Look, Lena's so happy I put that to you instead of to her.
Well, I like to say you should never go into any networking situation without doing your homework first. You need to know who the audience is. You need to know that this is a room full of professional women who are career women as well as women who want to start businesses. You need to know who your audience is. You've got to have a plan. And when you get to a networking event, you know, you've got to go for the relationships and not the chicken. You know, eat at home. You know what I'm saying? So you need to make sure that, you know, when you go into a networking event, you have a plan. You know some of the key targets that you have. And the other thing, and I mentioned this yesterday, is when you go to a networking function, 5 quality contacts is all you need. Because you don't have time to follow up with everybody in this room. So you shouldn't be trying to get everybody's business card in this room. Right? So it's about knowing your audience, know where you're going, look at who's on the board, who might be at the event, you know, so that you can strategize and maybe make a buddy as soon as you get there and say, do you know who this person is? Can you introduce me? You know, so that you can be real strategic about how you spend your time. And after you get your 5, you know, you can go to the chicken table, right? But I'm saying you have to be focused. Networking is everything. It's the engine that drives your business, right? Because people do business with people they like, know, and trust. Yep. So how are you going to get to the point where somebody feels that way about you if you're not building a quality relationship?
Lena, I would love for you to address the whole idea of, like, what do you do when you just know in your heart, in your head, that you blew it? That, you know, you sort of can tell, like, it didn't go as I planned, or if you start going down a path and you realize, like, uh-oh, I think I've lost this person, like, how do I recover? So talk to me about sort of, like, we've all been in that situation where you just know, like, oh, gosh, I wish I could rewind.
A lot of it is based on and predicated on what Melinda was just saying, right? So knowing your audience. So sometimes in an audience like this, right, it's okay for you to say, you know what, I want to start that again. And just own it and then just nail it, right? So the next time, the next opportunity that you have right there, just nail it. You don't always get that opportunity, right? So then if you're in a situation where you don't get a second opportunity, you take that as a learning lesson, right? So you look at, you don't berate yourself. We all screw up. I can't tell you how many times a week I screw up on various things in my business, right? But you have to look at and be willing to do, the postmortem. Where did I go wrong? This is something that I can't stress enough. You know in your gut, we're women, we're very, very intuitive. You know where you went wrong. You know where it started, that slippery slope, and then you just went. So you've got to kind of take yourself back there and revisit that situation and say, okay, where did I go wrong? Oh, it was when I started saying that thing that really doesn't resonate with me, but it's something that somebody told me to say. I'm not going to do that again. So you've got to double back and say, where did I go wrong? And use that as an opportunity to say, okay, I'm never going to say that again. I'm going to say this instead. And also practice. Once if you've screwed up, it means that you're not used to doing it. You're not comfortable with it. It's something's out of whack for you. Something doesn't feel genuine, whatever it is. Identify it, because until you name it, you can't write it. And I don't mean write. I mean R-I-G-H-T.
The other thing I would just add is that probably the two biggest things that I see people do to shoot themselves in the foot is they talk too long.
Yeah.
Or they start comparing themselves to someone else in a negative way, so they become, you know, self-effacing. Like, well, I'm no Pepsi Cola, but this is our drink, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen people do that? Have people done that to you? You don't talk about the competition in your pitch to anybody.
Yep.
Because at that point, competition is irrelevant.
Yep.
You know, I mean, because when Lena and I are both, you know, small business experts, so is Tori. Okay, so there's 27 million small businesses in the United States. Are these guys competition to me? No, they are not. Because there is plenty of people out here for all of us to work with. So you have to get out of that mentality of, you know, dismissing your own credentials or, you know, degrading yourself in comparison to the competition.
It's even a lot of times women will use the word like just. I'm just a.
Oh, and then you know what people will. I mean, listen, don't get me started. What I love is and my. My coach at the time told me this, and I love it. I loved your little speech. Oh, that speech? That was my big speech. You listen, here's the deal. You don't want to be combative, but you have to own your space, okay? You don't always want to be the one with the wisecrack and that sort of thing. Nobody likes that person. But you need to, if you don't ask for the respect, no one is going to hand it to you. And so when someone says to me, oh, I saw your little article that you wrote. Oh, that was my big article. Or I saw your little clip on CNN. Oh, that was my big CNN clip. Thanks. Right? So you have to correct people in a gentle way so that, and I don't know if there are guys in the room, but guys do this a lot to us. Right? Discount, discount, discount. And so you've got to own your stuff. And when you know your stuff, you're more confident about saying to someone, oh, that CNN clip, that was my big CNN clip. And you can joke and laugh with them, but I guess I'll guarantee you one thing. They will never say to you again, oh, I saw your little whatever. Unless it's something else.
Okay, who else wants to give it a shot?
Why don't you give us your pitch so I can see what you're talking about?
Come up to the mic, honey.
My name is Amy Cooper.
Yeah.
I am the owner of a cashmere business that sells these beautiful cashmere wraps. And
see how smart she is? She's wearing her item.
Yes, I always wear the item. I love it. That sends part of the money to send underprivileged girls to school.
You know what? I don't even think you need to give your URL. I think if the follow-up question for me would be, where can I get one?
Right, exactly.
And then your response would be, go to my website.
Go to the Red Twist. Right.
Isn't that just what happened? When you came up to me and you told me what you were doing now,
right,
and you told me that you gave me that pitch, and my next question to you is, where do you sell them? And you said, online. And I said, do you have a card?
And I did.
Right? So it happened naturally.
Okay, so you don't put it in your
initial
pitch.
It's not a commercial. It's a conversation you're beginning with somebody, right?
Okay.
This is the beginning of your relationship with them. So you don't, you know, you don't hit them with your full wad. You heard what I said, right? It's your X, your Y, and your Z.
Right.
And I loved what you said, and I loved how you did it. I loved how you demonstrated how your little rap works.
Okay.
I mean, my thing is like, what's the price point on this item? You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. No, seriously. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need a
phone. No, you know what I mean? I'm saying, like, how many colors does it come in? Like, right. What's the situation? Okay.
It's $175, and, you know, a portion goes to the girls, and it's at theredtwist.com.
Red twist.
Because they were from China. The money goes to girls in China.
Okay. And how many colors is it in?
I'm sorry? It comes in six colors.
Okay.
Neutral. Okay. Cream, black, gray, charcoal, brown, and oatmeal.
All right, we'll talk. Okay.
There you go. All right.
Thank you.
Can we step up to the mic?
Sure.
If you want to
own it.
Hi, I'm Sarah Marley. I'm a new student.
Don't talk with your back to me, right?
No, okay.
Hello,
I'm Sarah Marley. I am a new Nu Skin distributor. It is a handheld device that's called the Wrinkle Iron in Europe. It's very big in Asia. The United States is just coming into, and in 3 minutes, I can take 10 years off your face.
I might lead with that last line.
I do. I walk up
because
to people and I
say... But everything else was like, what? Okay.
I sell
a product I can take 10 years off your face in 3 minutes. After that, you've got my full attention.
Okay,
because right?
I walk up to people and I say, I'm going to be 58 in December. Look at my neck. Does this neck look like a 58-year-old person? And for under $400 twice a week, you can keep everything.
I don't need all that.
Not all that.
All
right.
I think your killer line at the end is what you should lead with.
Okay.
And then you back into, I'm a distributor for whatever.
Do you have to say that you're a distributor by law?
I don't know.
You need to find that out, because if you don't say it.
Yeah.
Okay. I represent Nu Skin or no?
No.
I sell this.
Oh, I sell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. You don't need to get into.
I can do that.
Yeah.
All of the mechanisms.
Your relationship with the partner of the national company, I don't care about.
Okay.
I care about that you're going to make me look. How many years young?
10.
I'm like, what? I'm interested in that. Okay.
Right.
So.
Okay.
All right.
And Lena, I thought I invented the word wordsmithing. So.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm
saying. I'm happy to find the one other person on
you
the
East
Coast.
You can have it back when I'm done with it.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Okay, who else?
Awesome. Thank you.
I have more.
Get your hustle on.
I'm not even mad.
How you get your hustle on, guys, right? So often we're in groups like this, and we're scared to share and give our business cards and take the next step to get the sale. What did I? For those of you who were here yesterday, I told you, if you don't ASK, you don't GET. You have got to take the next step and close. Ask for the money. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I am Chrissy Ladd, the 2011 National Notary of the Year. I've been a commissioned notary in 3 states for 15 years. I also serve as an expert witness in court cases involving notary misconduct. Ooh. I create risk mitigation programs for employers of notaries public to mitigate the risk to which the notaries expose their business.
Wait a minute.
Whoa.
Lingo jargon.
Whoa. I'm like,
and that's
what?
Why I wanted to serve myself up for this, because I know it's jargon heavy.
Right. This is the practice session, because the session after this, that's the real thing, baby. So, yeah. So you get to practice,
right, so
and get the
remember,
gentle advice.
Remember my X, Y, and Z, okay?
Right.
We need to break yours down like that, because
okay,
you lost me. Right, you told me you're a certified notary for 15 years, right? Okay. You probably don't need to tell me you've been certified in 3 states. Telling me 15 years is probably enough. Okay, so now let's go on to your why. Who do you work with?
I own Notary Power.
Okay.
I create risk mitigation programs for...
What does that mean?
Okay, risk mitigation programs is something I don't understand.
Right.
So
mitigate the risk of notaries public.
Okay, hold
okay,
on.
Again.
When notaries go bad, what happens?
Educate or litigate. You can pay me to educate them, or you can pay me from the other side of the aisle
who's
when I'm testifying.
Client?
Who pays
business
you?
Business owners.
Why would I pay you?
What kind of business owners?
If you employ notaries public and they are not educated,
okay,
they are exposing your company to risk.
Okay.
Okay, that's a key
who does that?
Sentence.
Banks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lawyers, right?
Yeah.
Who else?
You could say that for
convalescent homes,
just
recovery centers.
Giggles, right? You can say that you work with companies in finance, legal, and healthcare to help them mitigate the risk of wayward notary publics.
uneducated notaries public.
Right. Okay. Or whatever word you, but do you see?
They're uneducated because they don't intend to do something wrong, but because they're uneducated, they wind up getting in trouble.
Yeah. 37 states don't require education for notaries public.
But the point is really critical, because when you're talking to me and you share that, and if I have no interest, knowledge, connection to notary publics, I'm like glossing over. I don't care. But if you focus on those industries that Lena's suggesting, then I start realizing, like, oh, okay, maybe, you know, I'm going to tell her to call this law firm that I know, or I'm going to suggest this kind of contact, or people in here work at a bank or a law firm and could say, oh, I wonder if, like, we could use your services.
You can also start off with a statistic, right? So if you know, I don't know if this is true or not, I'm just talking here, but if you know that notary publics cost businesses that employ them $100,000 a year on average, start with that. So now you got my attention, right? So, you know, notary publics cost businesses that employ them $100,000 a year. My name is blah, 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 and my company is blah, blah, blah. I work with companies in the financial, insurance, and healthcare sectors to help them educate their notary publics so they can avoid huge fines. Done. Because if I want to hire you, now I'm thinking, what? Are you going to help me avoid a fine? Let's talk. Because people want to, when you're pitching, remember, people want to have better sex, they want to lose weight, they want to save time, or they want to save money, or they want to avoid pain. You have to put your pitch around something like that. Because otherwise, you've lost them. There's no benefit. So remember what Melinda said, end with the benefit, right? So if you can save me money and you can help me educate some people on my team, and I don't even know what that means, but I know, like, wow, I do employ notary publics. I don't know if they're educated. I need to talk to her to see. Do you get it? Mm-hmm. Do you want to have her try it?
One more time.
Okay. You can do it. We love you. It's all good.
That's a good friend right there. Not bad, huh?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I am Chrissy Ladd. I own Notary Power, LLC, 2011 National Notary of the Year. I'm also an expert witness in court cases involving notary misconduct. I work with finance, legal, and healthcare companies to reduce their exposure to poorly educated notaries, which can cost the company X dollars per year.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. It's
pretty solid. Good. Okay. Melinda, let me ask you this. So you guys clearly have, like, extreme confidence, right?
Yeah.
And So what about somebody who says, you know what, that's all well and good, but I'm terrified. I'm terrified to speak up. I'm terrified to stand up and share. And yet I know at the same time, if I don't get up and give my pitch, there's no business. Like, I'm not getting a new job. I'm not getting a promotion. I'm not getting the client. You know, there's no business. So we understand, like, what the pain could be. But what advice could you give about just really building that confidence and getting over being terrified to just do it?
Whenever you think about being fearful of introducing yourself to someone, there's two things that I always do. And I think about this phrase, and I want you guys to think about it. When you are an entrepreneur, you kill for your dinner every day. So if you don't go talk to that person, you might go hungry, right? I mean, you really need to get that granular about it. The other thing I think is that, what do you got to lose? You've got everything to gain. You've got absolutely nothing to lose. Because nobody has ever died of embarrassment the last time I checked. So you just have to force yourself. I mean, like, one of my favorite phrases that one of my favorite college professors told me when I was in college, he said, sometimes you have to force yourself, and sometimes you have to stop yourself. So when you feel that inner obnoxious roommate talking you out of walking up to that lady, or that guy, you force yourself. Because you'll be better for it.
The subject of confidence came up yesterday, and I'm so glad that you're giving us the opportunity to address it today, because it's like a cancer. It's horrible when you don't have the confidence that you'd like to have. And what has worked for me is something that one of my coaches and mentors told me a long time ago, and it just gave me supreme confidence to do whatever. And what he said to me was, Lena, in the event that you can't believe in you for that moment, and I may get emotional because it's deep. He says, in the event that you can't believe in you for that moment, I want you to take my belief in you that you can do it and act from there. So it's helped me because there are times when I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. I'm not quite sure. Oh, boy. And then I think back and I said, no. My mentor said, if I can't believe in me right now, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That means I'm human, and it probably means the step that I'm about to take is a big one and a good one for me. So I want to take that next step, but if I can't believe in me for that moment, it's okay. I believe in his belief in me to do it. And that's always what's gotten me to take the next step. So I want to be that for you. I know Melinda wants to be that for you, and I know Tori. Whoever works for you, whoever you identify with most, when you're looking yourself in the mirror and you think, I don't think I can do it, say, you know what? I believe in Tori's belief that I can do it. And I promise you, you will act on whatever it is that's stopping you, because it gives you that extra oomph, that extra push behind you. So I know that kind of got a little woo-woo, but
no, that's
we
good.
All need some woo-woo.
One of the things that I loved that Liz Lang said yesterday was, sometimes you have to live with the discomfort.
Yes.
So not everything that we have to do that is essential to do is going to be comfortable, and you can't wait for it to be comfortable in order to do it, or you'll go hungry, right? So you just have to accept that I don't like doing this, or I'm not very comfortable doing it, but I recognize the importance of doing it, and I'm going to do it anyway. Right? So who's next?
Me.
Oh.
All right. We got folks getting aggressive in here. Come on now.
Great.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Hello, all. My name is Renee Brandon, and I'm principal of Open Door Expressions. It's a marketing and graphic design company. I help small businesses look to see what they should be doing as far as marketing their business, and then I help them implement that with brochures, web design, all the types of things to help.
Mm, you want to tackle that?
Okay, at the end it fell apart.
Yeah. you know what you did. Right?
I know what I did. Right. I know what I did. Right. But the reason I wanted to get up here was mainly to ask a question. Lena, you have referenced several times a coach, mentor.
Yeah.
I'd like to know from all of you, how important was that in your development? And, you know.
Go back. No, you need to stay there. Okay. We're going to work on you and pitch in a second. But I'm going to answer your question first.
Okay.
You know, just like it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village for an entrepreneur to really flourish. You know, one of the things I talk about in my book, Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months, is how every entrepreneur should have a kitchen cabinet of advisors, right? So you should have 4 to 5 people that are already invested in your success, okay? The first person in this group should be somebody who is already an entrepreneur, somebody who has been there, done that, and can help you sidestep the booby traps that are out here waiting for you as you start your business. The second person in your kitchen cabinet of advisors should be somebody who is doing biz with you or someone who could. Okay, because you need that internal advocate, particularly like if you're trying to get a corporate contract or something like that, you need somebody that can give you that inside information, what the real budget is, right? The third person in your kitchen cabinet of advisors should be someone who is a mentor to you, preferably somebody who is, you know, high powered, got a major Rolodex that they're willing to lean on to help you. The fourth and fifth person in your kitchen cabinet of advisors should be maybe someone you went to college with who is a CPA, maybe someone else who is a lawyer. And the reason why I call this group of people a kitchen cabinet of advisors is because these people will work for food, right? These people are not, you can take these people to lunch, ask them a question, you can get them all together at one time, but you've got to be careful with this group of people because if you ask people for advice and they give it to you and you don't take it, you can burn a relationship. You can cyber burn a relationship. So it's really important that you be big enough to take their advice, even if it's advice that you're like, well, I don't, because remember now, these people have been there and done that.
Okay.
So they're telling you this only because they love you, because they can do a lot of other things with their time. Now, for those of you who do not already have a mentor and you are in business, there's an organization called SCORE that gives score.org. And what SCORE is the Society of Retired Executives, and they can work with you face-to-face. There's a wonderful Philadelphia chapter, SCORE Philadelphia, but they also work with people online. You can get you a mentor from SCORE, and the person is in Idaho. It depends on the expertise that you're specifically looking for. So if you're someone that doesn't have a mentor right now, that's no excuse. There are places where you can get mentors. But in my case, in my life, I have always had angels that guided my way. Everywhere I have gone, from the time I was an intern when I was in college to now, you know, running a major organization. I think that you have to have mentors in your life. And sometimes you have mentors who don't even know they're your mentors because you're tracking their business. You're tracking their business model. You know, someone who I think is a mentor to me who I've never met is Susie Orman. I'm tracking all of the stuff that Susie Orman does. So you can have mentors that are far and near. But it's very important to not rely on your own information. It's critical.
Okay, let's do your pitch again real quick.
Yeah. And also, can you tell me, right, so graphic designers, I know a lot of them. What makes you different? What sets you apart?
What makes me different? That's a good question. I mean, there's always, I think in terms of technically, I can't say that I'm necessarily different because there's always people that are very creative, but in terms of caring about the customers that I work with, I want to make sure that they have the best product.
Okay. Do you help me? Do you help me have better sex? No.
No. Can you help me your business?
Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me save time?
Yes.
How?
A lot of small businesses do their own thing, so I would definitely be a time saver, and I would, because I would do it for you, and then I would do it better than you would do it.
Do you help me avoid pain?
The pain of not having good marketing materials, yes.
Why is that important?
Because you want to sell your product.
Okay. I need to hear some of that, especially maybe at the end. It doesn't have to be all of it, but do you see how you need to pick one thing? Because I'm thinking to myself, yeah, my nephew's a graphic designer, and like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So you've got to make it real for me as a business owner. So if you can say to me, you know, I'm a graphic designer, work with small business owners, and I can have 3 logo concepts on your desk next week.
Right.
Because a lot of us have had experience with graphic designers who take forever to get the stuff to you. So if that's not you, tell me.
Okay, understand.
So it's about understanding the pain that your prospects have and incorporating some of that so you can immediately let people know, I'm sure I know what your pain points are, and here's how I address them. Okay. Here's how I avoid them.
So kick the pitch.
My name is Renee Brandon. I'm the principal of Open Door Expressions, a marketing and graphic design company. I help small businesses. About helping small businesses stop making the mistakes that they have been making in putting their marketing together. I see a lot.
Stop. Here's the thing. There. You're telling me I'm making a mistake as a small business owner, and
you
I don't want to hear
a
that.
Lot. I mean,
I know I am, but I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Don't you blame me, even though it's my fault. Don't do it.
Okay.
Right? So I'm a business owner. I'm not going to take personal responsibility. This is my baby.
Right. Thank you. I help small businesses find success in putting their marketing strategies together.
Let's try this.
Yes.
I help small businesses develop their visual brand.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that'll work a little better for
okay.
you. And I think everybody understands immediately what that is.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Who has, thank you. Who has a question specifically? Because I want to get to some of your questions before your pitch, separate from a pitch.
Like the word, don't say it.
Right.
If it doesn't,
if it doesn't work for me,
say anything in your pitch that does not resonate with you.
It's not authentic to you.
So if help works for you and that's your energy, do it. If it doesn't, don't do it. Because if you say it and you don't like it, I'm going to know right away.
Yeah,
right.
Like I was just wondering
yeah.
how, in general, is that a little bit
okay? I mean, I use it in mine, but, you know, it has to be authentic to you.
And also, help, right? So I tell my clients all the time, I will give you whatever you need. I will give you the best social media marketing strategies. But you got to show up. So when I say help, I mean, I'm going to give you everything you need. But I'm not going to sit back and you're going to be filing your nails. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So that's what I think of when I hear help, but it may be different for you.
Okay, we have time for one more question. Jeez, look at that. Yeah, that. Go ahead. Yeah, those are two-handed, yes.
Well, I think you have to pick your best lane. That's your most profitable lane for you to go in, right? Because nothing's worse than having a small business owner walk up and tell you three verticals they're chasing. Like, that's a recipe for, I'm looking at you, you're a solopreneur, and you're going to tell me all these different things you do. Like, that's not working. So you've got to pick a lane. You know, if you're saying, my name is Joey Fortman, I am a national media expert and radio personality, and I work with moms, you know, or I have built an online community of moms, and if you have a product that you're working with for the mom audience, I'm your best resource. You can say, I'm a media personality, I host Real Mom Radio, I've built an online community. I mean, you've got to kind of lay out your assets. Like when I talk to a potential, you know, corporation that wants to work with me, I immediately start running down what my online statistics are.
Right.
I got 100,000 followers on Twitter. I have the fastest growing small business brand on the internet. My name is small, you know what I mean? And I so.
I have 1.2 million listeners, number 2 in the market with a 2544, and I have 10,000 Twitter followers.
Like, I think 1.2 trumps 10,000 all day. Right?
Yeah.
All day.
If you can tell me 1.2 million of anything,
right, right. You know, and so I just think that you have to pick your best horse, because again, we want this to be as streamlined and as short as possible.
Yeah.
So I really think that it's about, you know, having it be, you know, tight, so that I ask you a follow-up question. Oh, well, where are you a media personality? And then you can start running down. I got this over here. I got this in social media. I got this on a, you know, broadcast radio station. I got da, 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 da.
And I hope you're leveraging the flip side of your business card, because that's where you can put your bullet points. She's not, but you're going to be.
No, I am.
You are. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So just real quick, the session after this, for those of you who are going to join us in room 105 for our next session, it's the real, like, pitching the pros, pitching a panel. And we've got a panel of incredible judges. And we will go quick, timed pitches with, like, hardcore, honest, candid feedback. And so Alex has these little strips of paper. And if you are coming to that session and you want to put your hat in the ring, so to speak, to be pulled, we're going to pick 10 people completely at random. Make sure that you get one of these pieces of paper. You can still attend and not put your name in this, but if you want to be somebody who gets called up to pitch, or have at least an opportunity to be chosen to pitch in front of a panel of judges, make sure that you take this little white piece of paper, write your name, first and last name, and then drop it in the bag on your way out of this room. So she'll give you those.
Can I ask
a question? Yes. Go ahead.
My question has to do with being creative in my pitch. So I don't know whether to be creative or not, so can I just...
Just do it. Do it. Yeah, do it.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Colleen McGee. I'm a diabetes nurse specialist. I would ask everybody to join me in counting out loud to 10. Can you do that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Wow. Just in those 10 seconds, one person died from having diabetes. Two people were given the diagnosis of diabetes. Diabetes is my passion. I work with physicians, hospitals, pharmacies, patients, and assisted care facilities. I teach the insulin certification program for assisted care facilities.
You lost me.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I like the 1 to 10 thing, provided that your environment supports that. Right? Yeah. So if it's an environment like this, and you want to get people engaged, and, you know, that's participation, that's cool. But I would skip over that if you're one-to-one with the person, right? Mm-hmm. So like Melinda just said, one-to-one, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And I would end it at the, I work with blah, 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 that's it, done. Because if I want to hear about your certification, I will ask. Or you can, you know, add it to your, I am, whatever your name is, and I'm a certified XXX.
And when you said what your credential was at the beginning of your pitch, I didn't understand what you said. It wasn't until later that I heard you say diabetic, you know, I was like, oh, okay, that's what she said. Because you said it so fast, I didn't even get it.
Okay. So should I start with I'm a registered nurse and a certified diabetes educator?
Yes. Because now you make me listen to you. Because if you tell me, okay, registered nurse, and then you say certified diabetes, now I'm saying, oh, you're qualified to tell me anything else after that. Because before that, I'm thinking, all right, registered nurse, you may know a little something, but certification specific. Now, and also, by the way, when she tells me certified in a specific area of healthcare or a specific health concern, now she has qualified herself as a specialist. And specialists make more money than generalists.
All day long,
period.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so 30 seconds, each of you. Give us your final, like, what you want everybody to know to nail it, whether they join us in the next session or they're going to just go out and we're going to spot them during the day and say, all right, give me your pitch.
The best thing that you can do is be true to who you are. Get the help that you need. But also, if you are working in a particular industry or you're providing a particular service, know that inside and out. I cannot stress it enough. I may not be able to tell you a damn thing about how to fix a car, but I can talk to you about social media marketing all day. And there is confidence when I'm on stage. The confidence that you guys see is because I know what the hell I'm talking about. Right? So the more confident you are and the more you know about what you, the more you know about what you do, the more confident you are. So leverage that. Be you. Don't take it over the top, and always, always, always have a way to introduce yourself to people.
Focus on benefits and not features.
Yeah.
Okay? And 90% of this is self-confidence. So it's about fake it until you make it, right? Because if you don't believe it, no one else will. The other thing you've got to take into consideration is that you're selling yourself as much as you're selling your product or service.
Yep.
So when you go and give your pitch, it's important to look like someone's supposed to be talking to. All right?
Thank you, guys. And that one thing I would just add, it's the last thing that I would add is that the only way to get better, the only way to get confident is by doing it for real. So you can write it out 100 times, you can say it in front of the mirror, you can record it into your phone, you can do all of those things, but nothing is going to give you the confidence like getting out there and doing it. And I hope that you will take the time today to connect with as many women as you can. Think of it as your guinea pig audience, but the reality is there's a lot of people here who could potentially help you build your business. So we appreciate you joining us in here, and I hope you go rock those pitches.